Okay, well, we are learning with Hashem's help. Masechet Sanhedrin, we are on page Kaf Aleph Amud Bet 21b, the beginning of the Gemara. So we started the Gemara yesterday with the first question. The Gemara brings a brighter. It says to Rabbanan, we learned in a brighter. Lo yarbeh lo susim. Pasuk says that the king shouldn't increase for himself horses. Yachol, I would have thought, afilu kadei markavato. Parashav, I could have thought he's not allowed to increase himself horses, even for his army and his cavalry, his chariots and his cavalry. Talmud lomar lo, but the pasuk says in it the word lo to him. What do I learn from that? Lo, ein omar beh, to him, for him, we do not increase. Aval malbehu, kadei lechbo uparsha. But he can increase for the sake of his chariots and cavalry. Ha ma'ani makayem susim. Therefore, if so, how do I understand the word susim, horses in the plural? That he shouldn't multiply for himself. If he's allowed to multiply for the troops, then what exactly is this? If we just had a learning, the learning is clear now, the learning's explained, that this passage means he's allowed to multiply for the troops, but he's not allowed to multiply for himself. So why do I need the word susim? Ma'ani mekayem susim.
Horses are valuable.
But no, so meaning
their sense of prestige.
Nachon, but the question the Gemara appears to be, now you told me that the prohibition is against amassing horses for your own personal sake. What are these horses? Could be just singular. Right, but then it would be a good, but then the answer doesn't really go with that. It doesn't fit with the answer so much. It appears to be, what are the horses which we're now talking about? So now that you've clarified what the question is, so we're not talking about excess horses for your army, we're talking about excess horses for you personally. So now we've clarified that aspect, so now we're going to ask a second question, okay, which horses are those that are too many for you? Answer, the Batlanim, ones that are just sitting there, doing nothing. So if you have needs for horses for your own personal use, it's good, but if they're just batlan, then that's what the prohibition is going on.
As my original comment, which is,
yes,
you're using horses like gold or silver, stockpiling it for show,
uh-huh,
for prestige. I have the greatest show horse in the world, just like you.
Well, interesting. You could make an argument if you wanted to argue, but we're Jews, we argue well. So if you wanted to argue, you could say even show horses may be okay, because they're not batlan. Let's always say batlan. If they're proceeding in a procession, meaning they're actually getting some use in order to increase the kavod of the king, which is not necessarily a bad thing. It depends, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. And arguably they have some use. It would, batlanim for sure is those, maybe not only, but those ones who are just sitting there doing nothing. I've just got a stable full of 2,000 horses. What are you doing with them? Well, nothing. Have they ever come out? Have you ever used them in the royal parade? No, done nothing with them. They're just sitting there.
It's like a stable of Rolls Royces.
Right. But if you bring them out every week for my Friday parade, then maybe they're not batlan.
But normally you wouldn't do that.
I don't know. You know, I'm not a king. What else are you going to do? They didn't have TV in those days. So
the example of that is what the princes in Arabia do.
Yeah.
They stockpile horses. You know, the whole Middle East, everything from Yemen all the way up.
Right.
All the Emirates, they stockpile horses, they stockpile camels, they stockpile hawks.
Hawks.
Hawks, hunting hawks.
Okay, there's not a lot to hunt there, maybe apart from horses. There's not a lot of animals there.
No, they actually have hawks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but what do they do?
Same thing the horses do. Nothing.
Okay. Next. Minayin she'afilu sut echad v'hu batel. Shehu v'lo yaveh. How do I know that even one horse, if he is batel, he's idle, he also transgresses lo yaveh? Even one. I could have thought that from the first pasuk, susim lo yaveh. So I might have said that the law is only in double figures do you start to get into the prohibition. Two. Double figures here meaning two. I wanted to get to two susim. I could have read susim as meaning that the prohibition doesn't apply to one idle horse. So the Gemara is clarifying now, even one idle horse, because I wouldn't have known that without this next drasha. I would have thought from the word susim, you need at least two idle horses. But how do I know even one? Talmud Lomar, because as a different passage it says, Lama'an harvot sus, says it, excuse me, in the singular. So later on there's a passage that says it in the singular, teaching me even one. B'chi, me'achad afilu sus achad, v'hu batel. Now that you taught me that even one, if he is idle, right, that he is Kai v'lo yaveh, he is in this lo yaveh. Susim lamani, why do I need the first mention of susim? Right, if we covered it in the next section, in the next passage with one, so why do you need the first section with two? Answer, la'avor v'lo taseh al kol sus v'sus. In order to teach us that there is a lo taseh, prohibition, on each horse and horse.
One is one sin, and there are two extras, you've gone twice, you've broken the law.
Yeah, so with each horse, why? Because if I only had, that's why I need both mentions. If I only had one of the mentions, I wouldn't have learned that. I would have thought that you're not allowed to do it. And if you did it, so it's a prohibition. But because it's now both given in the general, in the double, and in the specific, teaching me that each and every one is its own prohibition. So in order to make it to clear how severe the prohibition is, and also I think to show how each individual horse is itself effective in making the problem worse. It's not like 100, having 100 horses is the same as having 101 horses. No, having 101 is worse than having 100. Having 1,001 is worse than having 1,000. Each individual horse, for whatever reason, makes the problem worse. They're not just like a collective issue.
It's interesting that they didn't use this argument with the number of wives.
Each one.
No one said that each one, you just make things worse. It's one of them said that the first one does it, but then that's enough, you know. When the first wife, she takes you away from what you're supposed to be doing, that was a different opinion.
Well, the three of but I mean, let's say, according to the Tanakhama, 18. So he doesn't have any.
You have 18 and whatever happens.
Right. And you're not allowed to go past that. According to the second one, Rabbi Yehuda, he says you can have 18 and then you can go above that so long as each one above that doesn't take your heart away. So as soon as you get to the one that does, you have to stop. And the same way on the way under that. So really you have to stop at each one. I know if the horses are the same, you buy them in bulk, you don't just women, you don't usually shoot, marry in bulk. I don't know. I mean, you make kasher at 10. Maybe. Toby. Next. Tama de Katav Rahman Allah. Okay, Tama, the reason that Hashem wrote the word law, we explained before. We said before that the word law came to teach us that the prohibition was against personal forces and not against army forces. Right? So, referring to that reasoning, Halapachi, if it wasn't for that, Havamina, I would have thought, Afilu Kidei Rechbo Uparshab Nami Lo. Ah, the question. Halapachi, without saying that, Havamina, would I have thought, Afilu Kidei Rechbo Uparshab Nami Lo? That even in order to increase his cavalry, this is also prohibited. What's he saying? He's saying, you gave me a drasha earlier, right? You told me earlier that we can learn out from the word law that the king, that the prohibition is not on increasing your cavalry and horses. Prohibition is on yourself. The Gemara is saying, but even without your drosha, I would have realized that. It seems clear, it seems obvious that a king's allowed to have an army. He's allowed to have cavalry and horses for his army. So I don't need a drosha for you to tell me that. I'm not going to make the mistake and think that pasuk came to give me a prohibition on having horses in your army. So I never thought that. So the reasoning you gave earlier seems to be off. I'm coming back to challenge a bit later on. We could have put this challenge back there at the beginning of the Gemara, but they chose for whatever reason to challenge it here. When you said the reason for the word law comes to clarify what this prohibition is going on, I could have told you, it's obvious what the prohibition is going on. It can't be that the prohibition is going on his army, because the king is allowed to have an army. It's obvious. It must be that it's going on his own personal use. So the Gemara clarifies and says, no, lo, that's not what was going on. Tzricha la'afushe. It was needed for extra surplus. Surplus. Meaning, even in the case of the army, You could have thought, depends how there's two ways of reading this. Let's see what Rashi says. But the two ways of reading it, even surplus what? Even surplus for the drasha, or even surplus for the prohibition. Meaning, you needed to give me that reasoning because I might have thought that the prohibition went on the army because of the possibility of surplus. You could have too much army. Maybe the Torah came to teach me that you're not allowed to increase your army too much, and that's what the prohibition was on. And therefore, I needed that drasha to come and teach me, no, that wasn't the correct understanding. It was going on its personal use. Okay, that's one understanding. Alternatively, surplus means, you're right, the king is not allowed to have too many soldiers in his army if they're surplus and they're idle and they're doing nothing. So the prohibition does also go on that. Let's just see the Rashi to see which way he goes on that. Lafushe. Rechev uparashim v'susim yirkov v'harvacha v'lo v'tsimtsum lishna achrina Lafushe Garcina Rochev Susakad Moshak Susakad Slovyad Rochev Pam Zero. So Russia has a third one as well. Lashon Achrina is alternative. There's a third option which I don't really understand so far. I mean, I don't understand how it fits in.
That's what they used to do, I think. I think when they had the Pony Express in there. What? Didn't they go with two horses, one that they rode on and one that they had to stick around to be a fresh horse? Or they just changed it?
They changed it. What they did was they would have stations so many miles away. And at that station, they would always have a fresh horse. Horses. Because the Pony Express would go there, change horses. The horse that they changed to rested for an whole day, so they got to eat and sleep and drink water.
Mm-hmm.
And they only traveled so far, like something like 20 miles. You know, they did.
It's a similar idea. He says here he could travel on two, take two horses, one that he would ride and then he would pull along with him, and then he would switch horses. That's the there's a show up here. I think you've seen it.
But how does it fit in with our context of in our context? So it's coming to tell us that the king's not allowed to do that, or he's allowed to do that. I'm not sure how it fits in. It's in the lot sricha lafushet, right? What was our question? The Gemara said, wouldn't I have known anyway that there's no prohibition on a king to increase his army? And therefore, why do you need to tell me the reasoning of the word law comes to differentiate between the king's army, which there's no prohibition on, and there is a prohibition on his own personal use, law, for him? That's what the word law comes to teach you. And I say, well, I would have known that anyway, even without the word law, because a king is allowed to have an army. Along comes the Gemara, says, no, lot tzricha, it was needed. This reasoning was needed. Why? Lafushe.
What is exactly what the word lafushe means?
Surplus.
Surplus.
Extra.
It says there shouldn't be no lafushe?
No.
But that
it says for the surplus. It came to teach me about the law of surplus. Surplus what? It doesn't say surplus what. So we have two possibilities. Surplus troops, or surplus, like Rashi says here, surplus king. Like he has one extra horse riding with him when he travels. Then we have to plug that back in to our original question and answer, which is a little difficult for my brain at this time of morning.
Well, I've only had 3 hours. Only had 3 hours sleep, but what I'm thinking is that it's limiting the size of the standing army, because idle troops can just cause you problems in society.
It's wonderful. But let's go back to the Gemara. I want to fit it to the Gemara.
But I want to add to that, simply saying that not only idle troops, but idle horses, plus the desire of, arrogance isn't the word I'm looking for.
Pride.
But it's close.
Yes.
What I'm trying to think of is the warning not to go back to Egypt to get your horses, and that's saying that you don't want to fall into the same traps of black magic, chutzpah, and gaiba.
Right.
And that they're
you need one for each woman. You need to increase your horses for your women.
No, but
they ride on the horse.
What a better analogy is the more wise, the more witchcraft.
Right. Okay, so
I mean, how can someone have more than one wife? I mean, one's hard enough. Especially when you read Rabbi Yerusha's book, Garden of Peace.
You don't see everything is right. Maybe once in a while, see is right.
Ah, so now I see. Okay, but let's check. So these are the two options. Let's refresh ourselves what the question in the Gemara is. Okay, try and get our heads into the Gemara's question and answer. The Gemara said, what does the Pasuk come to teach me with the word lo to him? Comes to teach me the meaning of the prohibition. I have a prohibition in the Torah that says a king is not allowed to increase his forces. Without the word law, I don't know what this prohibition applies to. Could apply to the army forces, could apply to his personal ones. Along comes the word law to say for him, for himself, you're not allowed to increase for yourself forces. Okay, that's the beginning of our Gemara. And therefore, by reference, you are allowed to increase your army. Right? But you're not allowed to increase your personal. That's what the prohibition is saying. Don't increase your own personal use of forces. Gemara then says, but wait a minute. Why do I need the word law to tell me that? Why do I need Hashem to put in an extra word into that sentence which is not necessary, superfluous? I could just say the king shouldn't increase forces. So why do I say the king shouldn't increase for himself forces? In order to teach me for himself he's not allowed to increase. But for his army he can. Gemara said, well, doesn't make sense to me. Even without that word additional for himself, I would have known that. Because it's obvious to me that you're allowed to have a good sized army. You're allowed to have a nice army. Every king needs to have an army. So when I come to this prohibition and I read the king's not allowed to increase forces, I know automatically that it's talking about his own personal use, and it can't be talking about the army. That's the question of the Gemara. So why is it that you gave me the word law? Why is it that you gave me this additional word? Answer? So we have two answers in Rashi. First answer is Lod Sarifa La Afushe. No, it only came to tell me about the surplus. Meaning, I do need the word law. It's not like you said. You said we don't need the word law here because I would have worked it out myself. And I'm telling you, no, you wouldn't have worked it out yourself. Why? Because without that word law, you might have thought that there was a possibility that the Torah is teaching me not to over increase my army. Right? The prohibition was really going on the army. I told you it's obviously not going on an army because everybody needs an army. So I don't need this word law. It's obvious for me it's not talking about the army, it's talking about personal use. But the Gemara says, no, you wouldn't have said that. Why? Because you would have said instead that the prohibition does go on the army. Actually, the prohibition is not to have an army stamp, but the prohibition is to have an excessive army. And I might have made the mistake in learning the Torah and thought that the Torah meant, Hashem meant, don't have an excessive army. Lo yubestosim. And therefore, the Torah needed to say the word lo for him in order to tell you, don't make the mistake and think that the prohibition is against that. It's not. The prohibition is only against your personal use.
So I was on track.
You are on track. Towards, you get there. So that's
close.
One. That's one way. That's the first Rashi. Second Rashi says something different. Second Rashi doesn't use la foshe, he uses la foi. He has the word, the letter change. It's not a shin at the end, it's an aleph. And what's it now? Lashon acher, la foshi. Ahet, sorry. La foshi, not la foshi. La foshi. What does he say that means? That means that the prohibition was necessary, the word law came to teach me this rule about nachochi, to exclude. I know, my best understanding is that Rashi is here saying that Rashi bringing in this alternative explanation, which is the king that has the extra horse riding with him. So where's that fit in? So my best guess is that that's fitting in to say that's excluded from this prohibition. Don't think that that's what the prohibition came to prohibit. Rather, it came to prohibit the excess. You might have got it wrong without that word law. Why do I need the word law? Right? Because the kasha of the Gemara is you don't need the word law. Law doesn't help you. It doesn't come to tell you anything new that you didn't already know. So along comes two answers. Yes, it does tell me something I didn't know, because I wouldn't have known about the prohibition on the army. You say I would have known it because everybody's allowed to have an army. My first answer is no, because you could have thought the prohibition is on the excess army. Or secondly, no, the word law is needed, because it's needed to exclude prohibiting this extra horse. I might have thought from our learning above that you're not even allowed to have one extra idle horse, then that includes not having this idle horse that you drag with you as a spare. And along comes the word law to teach you no. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about his own personal uses that are batlan. That one is excluded from the prohibition.
Well, both parts of what you were saying. My first part saying that you can have six horses leading your chariot instead of four, so that it would be more your bakai, be easier on the horses. And it's saying the same thing over here.
Where are you? Lashon Achrina.
Lashon Achrina is ever talking about that even an individual rider can have an extra horse, so it would be easier on the horses. Two different ones. The first one is.
But the first one is the excess for the army. The parashah.
Right.
The parashim, that's his cavalry.
And the other one
is for his personal use. He has one extra for him, or the other one is many extra for the army.
I thought it wasn't meant for the army, because I have everyone in the army just arriving with.
Yeah, but these ones would be extra ones. They would just sit around doing nothing. Like surplus ones for the army. So I might have said that the prohibition also covers them, and the answer comes to tell me no. There's no prohibition on excess army horses. I think at some point we need to put our magic whiteboard back up.
Yeah, in the next line,
Says
that. Said in the first one, the host for Harbakah. You should buy them the Rebbach, have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
The Harbakah is a Shalom, it's upset. You shouldn't
restrict
the number of buys in a way.
Yeah.
To a certain amount. He means directly it's called a Kainu, because he's more soldiers, so they at least have the horses away.
Right. So that's a good reason why you're allowed to have them. So there's no prohibition. Right, so what it's saying is there is no prohibition on there, on the army. You might have thought, so that's why I need the word law to distinguish between the two, because you might have said that was the prohibition. Okay, Tov. Kesef, Mazahav, Loya Berlo. The second instruction to a king is not to have too much gold and silver.
Also, isn't found text. Not in the Gemara, it's in Rashi. He's commenting on his own commentary.
So Rashi doesn't comment on his own commentary, that's for sure. The Har B'Chaim is probably going on the next section of the Gemara, which just has the Har B'Chaim. Yeah. It's going on the troops. Enough to pay the troops.
Yep.
You need to have enough money to pay the troops. Okay.
Yes.
No, it's good to identify that. Yofi. Okay, so the next bit of the Gemara is gold and silver you shouldn't increase for yourself. Elakadeli tena spania. Only, rather, you should have enough to pay for your troops, for your army. Right? That's what a king needs money for. Doesn't need money for anything else. Right, to reserve money. I guess the job of the king wasn't to look after the roads and build the bridges, and I guess there was a different financial system, I don't know. Apparently he just paid for the army. Okay, Tanu Rabba now, we talked in a brighter. Kesef Zahav Lo Yoverlo, right? Gold and silver, he's not allowed to increase too much. Yachol, I could have thought. Afilu Kedit, right? So we're going to see here, this is a very similar template to what we just learned in the case of the horses. Right, it's the same question-answer format. Yachol, I might have thought. Afilu Kedeli Tenasanya, I might have thought that he's not even allowed to increase his wealth in order to pay for his army. Tamor Lomalo, therefore, the Torah says in the passage of the word lo eino marbeh, for himself he's not allowed to increase. Aval marbehu kedeli ten asfanya, but he is allowed to increase in order to pay his army's wages. So then we're going to ask the same question that we asked before. Tamadata de katav rachmana lo. The reason you gave me now for the Torah writing the word lo, right? Have love, hachi. Without that, without you telling me that reason, I would have said myself, even to pay the army, this doesn't apply. Meaning, he's allowed to pay the army. I don't need the word law to come and teach me that the prohibition is going on his own personal wealth, because it's obviously he's allowed to accumulate wealth to pay for his army. Just like we said, it's obviously he's allowed to have horses for an army. So how can it be that you want to tell me that the Torah needs to add in the word law in order so that I don't make that mistake, in order that I know the prohibition is going on his own personal use? It can't be that. Answer: Lo tzricha leharvacha. No, it is necessary on account of excess or reserve, right? That I might have thought the prohibition was against the army to amass a reserve of wealth. I may have thought that the Torah allows me to pay for a year's worth of wages, but more than that, it's just excess. You don't need to amass wealth in the future. But no, the Torah comes along and says, no, this prohibition doesn't apply at all to the army. You are allowed to amass wealth for the army, even in a reserve. Only comes to teach you law, to amass personal wealth for yourself. That's the prohibition. That's why I need the word law in this sentence. Okay. Next. Hashta. Now, the Amarta law lidrasha. Now that you taught me the word law as a drasha, in both of these cases, you taught me what the word law meant, right? These same pasukim follow the same template. You shouldn't amass for yourself horses. You shouldn't amass for yourself money. So now you taught me what that word law means. Lo yubelo nashim. Maybe it means the same thing for nashim. It's the same format. You shouldn't increase for yourself wives. That law that you explained to me in the first two cases, meaning for yourself personally and not for something external, maybe that means also for wives. My drasha, bay. How are you gonna work that into the same drasha? How does that work? How can you have a need to add the word la into that sentence in order that you don't make a mistake and think that the prohibition is going on something external? Does it work with wives? Right? You shouldn't amass horses and you shouldn't amass wealth. Well, if you don't add the word for yourself, I can get mistaken about who you're amassing for. So I need the word for himself to teach me what that prohibition goes on. Shouldn't amass for yourself horses. Shouldn't amass for yourself money. So now you tell me you shouldn't amass for yourself wives. Why do I need the for yourself? Who else could you be amassing wives for? Right, the first two, if you're going to make the drasha on the word lot, fine. It's clear you've had two options and you need to exclude one and tell me the prohibition goes on the other one. Goes on for yourself. But when you come to wives, why do you need to tell me do not amass for yourself wives? Why not just teach me do not amass wives? Here there's no possibility that I can make a mistake. I don't need the word law. Amass for yourself. Gemara says, why do I need the word law? Answer, Leveute hediot. To exclude hediots, common people, common people. Meaning, excluding from this prohibition is common people. When it says you shouldn't amass for yourself wives, it's talking only to the king. I don't know that otherwise, because the passage doesn't say the melech, it just says do not amass, I assume. It says do not amass, where's the passage here? Lo yaber lo nashim lo yasur lo chesed lo yaber lo. Okay. So the footnote explains. No, the footnote explains. Even though the passage was specifically talking about a king, the reason why the Gemara says you might have thought that it also applied to commoners is because the reasons given in the passage. Because of reasons given in the pasuk, in order not to turn your heart away, you might have thought that that therefore also applies to everyone else. In order that you don't, so I should learn from that too. Everyone should not amass wives if they're going to turn his heart away. Therefore, that prohibition actually goes on everyone. I might have thought that. And along comes the word la to clarify and say no. La for him. The king himself is not allowed to amass wives for this reason, but that prohibition does not apply to the common person. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing is another question, but there's no Torah deraita prohibition on a common person amassing wives. There's not a prohibition. There's no prohibition on amassing wives. I can tell you this prohibition doesn't apply. I don't know if there's any other rules about not having too many, but presumably not. Yeah, presumably one reason you could give, I mean they're all spiritual reasons, but one reason you could give is it doesn't really matter. If Joe blogs the milkman has 15 wives and they turn his heart away, it's not great, but so does the internet, so does reading the newspapers, so does watching TV, right? It could all turn your heart away, right? But that's your problem. If you turn the king's heart away, now we've got a problem, right? Now we've got a disaster. So we're not really bothered if we're not as bothered if an individual person gets his heart turned away. These things happen, it's not the end of the world. But the king we have to be very careful about, because the king obviously is in a very important position, so we're very careful that he doesn't get his heart turned away. Yeah, Rashi. Lemote hediot de mutalin lahabot nashim. It is permitted for them to increase wives. So Rashi says it's permitted. There you go. There you go, unfortunately, until Rabbi Gershon. But there you go. Shame. Right, you never you never get to Yeshiva. Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Rameh. Rabbi Yehuda posed a contradiction. Rameh is one of several words for contradiction. Raminbu, other words. What is contradiction? Ketiv is written in one place. Vayehi l'shlomo arba'im elech u'ot susim l'merkavo. It's written in one place that Shlomo Melech had 40,000 lines. Here it says lines of stalls of horses for his chariots. 40,000 rows of stalls of horses for his chariots. But it's written in a different place. In another place it's written he has 4,000 lines of stalls of horses. How can it be? Well, is it 40,000 or 4,000? What's the answer? So the answer is even bigger. So the answer is like this. Im alba'im aleph. It's tablaot hayu. If there were 40,000 stables, kol echad v'chad hayu bo alba ala ra'ot sosim. Each one had 4,000 lines of horses. V'im hayu alba elef it's tablaot. And if there were only 4,000 stables, kol echad hayu bo alba im elef ra'ot sosim. Each one had 40,000 stalls. So either way, it's the same number. One says he had 4,000 rows of horses, and another said he had 40,000. You're right. Both are correct. If he had 4,000 stables, he had 40,000 in each. And if he had 40,000 stables, he had 4,000 in each. He had a lot of horses. For 160,000 rows. I don't know how many is in a row. Let's say there's 10 in a row. 160,000. 1.6 million horses. 1.6 million horses. I don't know. Tov. You can always have a question on the Gemara. You can ask the question. I don't know what the answer is, but you can always ask a question on the Gemara. When the Gemara mentions large numbers, are they meant to be taken literally? Right? In many, many places in the Gemara. So there are answers which say they're not. There's two, machloket. They are, and if you can't understand it, it's your problem. Right? Or no, it's not what the Gemara is coming to teach you something different, but it's using large numbers to show you that there were large numbers. But the actual amount is irrelevant. Whether it was like 100,000 or 20,000 is irrelevant. The numbers come to teach you something different, to teach you something underlying. Don't know which one is true. When Aliyahu Hanavi comes, you can ask him. Yaakov is keeping the master list of questions to ask Aliyahu Hanavi. So when he comes, I'm going to send him to you, Yaakov, because that's a chance. With all those questions of the last three Masech talk that we learned that we didn't know.
Sagiyah, Rakhaz,
Sanhedrin.
Yeah. Marcus.
Cut my cord on top. Yeah, question. That's very good. Okay. Next, Rabbi Yitzhak Rami. Rabbi Yitzhak also had a contradiction. What's his contradiction? Ketiv. It's written over there in one place. Ein kesef nechshav bimei Shlomo l'mu'uma. Silver was not reckoned, was not counted as anything in the days of Shlomo. Silver was pretty much worthless because it was so abundant. In the days of Shlomo, he had so much kesef that wasn't a big deal. Ukatir, so that's, it says that in one place. We're going to see that it's based on the word man, nothing. It wasn't worth anything. Not that it just was of low value, it wasn't worth anything. Ketiv, and it's written in a different place. V'yiten ha-melech et ha-kesef Yerushalayim ka-avanim. In another place it's written that Shlomo gave silver from Jerusalem, or he put silver in Jerusalem, like stones. What does it mean that he put it like stones? So according to the commentary, stones at least have some value. In the first passage you're saying it had no value at all, and in the second one you're saying it had like value for like value of stones. It didn't have value as a precious metal for sure, but in the second version it had value as stones, but in the first version it had no value at all. That appears to, according to the footnote, that's what it explains to me. Let me see if Rashi says anything. Kavanim Hashiv Miha Por Pruta. It was at least, right? It did have the value of the Pruta. Right? According to Rashi, stones have the value of the Pruta, meaning a very small amount. But in the first version, there's no value attached to the silver at all. How can that be? Lokasha, says the Gemara. It's interesting that we answer sometimes with a Lokasha, sometimes we just answer it. Like this contradiction in verses, we answer here, Lokasha, it's not a problem, we answer why. But the other contradiction, we just answered it, we didn't say Lokasha. Maybe because this one is more, I don't know, I'd like to understand why this one deserves a Lokasha, and the other one just deserves an answer, when they're the same format. It says here one place, says here another, must mean this. Says here one place, it says here in another place. Lokasha, don't worry about the contradiction, I'll tell you the answer. It's a question for Rabbi Yeshua, for someone who knows Gemara a bit more, why. Why one needs a Lokasha, the other doesn't. It might just be, you can just say a stylistic one, it was the way of one writer. Had used the but I think there's probably more to it. It has to be more to that. It seems to me that in the second case, when you say lo kasha, it means that you had a kasha. In the first place, you didn't. There wasn't a kasha. It wasn't. So it was just an intro in order to tell me a drosh. Right. But here's apparently a real kasha. So the Gemara has to tell me, no, it's not a kasha. I mean, I can't resolve the pasukim by themselves. The first way we resolved it, that they're both pasukim fit. They're both correct at the same time. Here, I have to say that they don't fit together, and that there is a nafka, there is a difference between them. And how do I resolve that kasha between them? Answer, one place can kodem shenasa shlomo et bat horoh. One place we're talking about before he married Paro's daughter, and the other one is after he married Paro's daughter. So what? Which is which? So according to my text over here, before he married Paro's daughter, silver had no value, and after he married Paro's daughter, silver began to have value. Why? Therefore,
Once the green starts wearing certain kinds of jewelry, everyone else starts to have the same thing.
And
it's
not so much
more. Oh, you need it. Oh, his wife needed it. So the supply and demand, the demand went up, and then it became.
Right,
same with copper. Copper used to be pretty much worthless, and then they started using it as especially metal fibers. And then in the UK, they started stealing the copper fibers. They would cut down the the lines, because they use copper in the online and to steal the copper.
And they said, you know, the controller in the region, they said, use always in Israel when there was Taliban, it was dominance. I said, why can't I understand? So then you came here and understand. It's like stones here.
So here, I think the explanation it gives why was silver valuable after you married Pharaoh's daughter and not before? Because before you married Pharaoh's daughter, he was so spiritually inclined that there was no value in physicality, in silver. Gold and silver had no value. It was worthless. It was just physical, right? And Shlomo was completely spiritual. He's not interested in it. But once he married Pharaoh's daughter, silver got the value of pruta. It didn't come back to having real value. He didn't lose his spirituality to become physically interested in stuff. But a little bit, it had a value of a pruta. Now, that's what it was coming to tell you. The verse or the remez that silver suddenly took on a little bit of value, even though it was minimal. That came from my Paris daughter. Which fits in nicely with the wives. The fact that the wives come and take your heart away. A little, they even if you think like Shlomo thought that it wasn't going to happen, that he could deal with it. You see from here that it did. It had the effect of a pruta, so to speak. That it moved from causing him to be not physical. So giving him fruits worth of physicality entered into his heart, so to speak. Yofi, we are at 10 o'clock, we'll leave.
Thank you, Shai.